You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic, relationship repair, trying to figure out what is my part, what is their part, where does all this come into play? Right before I got on here, I was thinking to myself about how far I've come in my relationships. Learning how to communicate, learning how to show up, learning how to be outside the box, because I come from a background of high dysfunction, and many of us probably do, raised in an alcoholic home. My parents, God bless them, as much as there was a lot of good in that environment, unfortunately, the bad is kind of what frames me, I guess I would say us, as we get older and we start to reflect back and understand where did these habits, where did these thought patterns derive from, where did they come from? How did I get to this place? There is so much unraveling of the emotional layers, I would say, as we get older and as we engage in relationships. If you're a younger person and you're on the front end of engaging in a relationship and you're wondering why it doesn't work, then this show will be for you today. It might be a very quick learning curve as far as how do we show up in our relationship? What is our part in that? At the end of the day, I'm only in control of myself. You are only in control of yourself. I mean, the ultimate powerlessness, the ultimate surrender of control means admitting that I have no control over other people. I'm only in control what's within my hula hoop. You know, I've got this hula hoop of life around me, and it's my life. And within that hula hoop, that's what's within my control. Outside of that hula hoop, I'm getting in other people's hula hoops, and I need to stay out of other people's hula hoops. If I have any shot at relationship recovery, relationship growth, relationship enhancement, now you might be thinking to yourself, but what about when the other person seems highly dysfunctional? What about when their behaviors interrupt my day? I mean, I'm a mom of three kiddos. The youngest is a teenager, 15, and on up they go. I understand what it feels like to be powerless over behaviors that I really would like to see change. I understand that powerlessness. I understand judging somebody or thinking I know better than them and I know better than their journey based on my future worry of what it will turn out to be in 20 years. So instead of gauging and addressing a situation in the what is now, my reaction sometimes will be about me future tripping about where this will lead to if this behavior doesn't change. How many of you are in intimate relationships right now where you are future tripping a lot? It's like that fight or flight thing. You're in the relationship, all of a sudden it hits a little snag and you start to become concerned about, oh, I don't know if we could ever get married based on that. Or, oh, I don't know, I might have to divorce over that. Or if he doesn't or she doesn't change this thing about them, there's no way I can live together. Because we immediately go to the, what are we going to lose if we continue to stay within this relationship? If we continue to stay amongst this behavior. And when that becomes overwhelming, when that thought pattern and that way of habitually having just that repetitive perspective on your partner, which then goes into your relationship, if you are unable to break that cycle because you are unable to look within you to make a change, then that relationship is most likely going to be extremely miserable for you. I don't care if this is a professional relationship that you're staring at, this occupied your perspective the majority of the time. If you're stressed out bringing work home with you, you become way overwhelmed with the personality at work. You've made that your higher power for the day. Maybe it's a relationship with your teenager that you've become obsessed about, worrying yourself, you know, sick because they won't change, or you're worried they're never going to go to college, they're never going to amount to anything, or they're going to struggle to get there. If they don't change this behavior and they don't do their homework, how are they ever going to get to college? But now it's become your own obsession. You're worried about it more than your kiddo's worried about it. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Or it's in an intimate relationship with somebody you're involved with. You don't know how to get past the changes of you know, you're seeing them fluctuate maybe emotionally, and you don't understand how to stay out of that hula hoop. And so therefore you start to become miserable in your relationship. Look, here's the deal. If you're somebody who desires a long-term relationship, or you have relationships in your life that are going to be long-term, regardless whether you want them to be long-term or not, family, that might ring a bell. At the end of the day, they're going to be long-term relationships for you. If that's what you desire, then learning how to stay within your hula hoop and out of their hula hoop is really the only way that you're going to continually stay happy, joyous, maybe lovingly tolerable within that relationship long-term. If you are constantly in a cycle of looking at somebody else through the lens of disappointment because they don't show up the way you need them to show up, then that's going to be on you. Because at the end of the day, my friend, we are the only ones within our control. We are the only ones that we can control. We may have appropriate expectations of somebody that we determine. But as soon as we get past that point of no return, and we're staring at them thinking they are the problem, that's when we are setting ourselves up for failure. And there really is no win-win when we do that. We are going to constantly be disappointed, and they are constantly going to fail our expectations. If we don't turn that perspective around and learn how to look at ourselves and how we're showing up in a relationship. The relationships I'm talking about are the relationships that are somewhat functional, maybe not even functional right now. Maybe it's like to the point of counseling together, whether that's family therapy with your kiddo or marriage therapy with your spouse. Maybe it's to that degree of, you know, the heartache right now in that relationship. Those are the relationships I'm speaking about. There's always going to be a separate category for abuse. I'm not talking about finding your place within abuse. Okay. I'm not going to go there in this show. I am talking about the relationship that you're in that continues to not be satisfactory to you, and you feel stuck. That's what I'm talking about today. So relationship repair, learning how to own your part of what isn't working. What are you bringing to the party that is not working for your relationship? You know, in the beginning of this, I started saying, you know, I come from a background from being raised in an alcoholic home. I understand what it's like to have emotions spread all over the place. I understand how to be in a room with somebody and be related to them, or to love them and yet not feel connected to them. I understand that. I understand that sometimes relationships can feel hopeless. And sometimes we are blocked by our own ignorance because we don't know what the right questions are to ask for us to get to the next level of joy within and satisfaction within our relationships. I get that. And so today on the show, what I'm hoping to cover are some hints for you. One, to start to understand these might be symptoms within myself that I need to take a look at, that might be clues, little breadcrumbs saying that I got some work to do on me, regardless of what the other person is doing in their life. This is going to be all come back to me. I'm going to talk about some symptoms of that. We're obviously going to talk about some solutions to that. And I'm just going to dive in. You know, being raised in an alcoholic home and being around that type of emotional turmoil, there's like a kind of energy to it. If any of you have been raised in that type of environment, or you've been raised in a household where things weren't exactly, you know, I think we could probably all look back and say, what did we learn from our parents? I'm not trying to badmouth parenting. I honestly, today, my belief system is we really do the best that we can. I have total love and respect for both of my parents, no matter what they were going through at that age, no matter what they were trying their best at. And I had to learn, one, being a recovered alcoholic, I had to learn how to stay on my side of the road a whole bunch in order to overcome, to then learn how to effectively show up in a relationship, how in, on an intimate level, how to be a partner in a relationship, how to listen in a relationship, how to stop my own crazy from blowing up a relationship, but taking accountability for my side of that road. I've also over time had to, and part of that accountability and learning about me was I had to learn how to communicate. It's not always about, you know, yeah, does the other person have a place in change? Likely, but I have to be able to appropriately express that. And I've done many shows on expressing, on communicating, on scripting in a relationship. Today's show, I want to focus in on how do you know that the focus needs to be more on you than your partner? How do you know that? How do you find hope within any type of relationship that you feel is struggling, that there's room for change? How do you find that hope within? Well, it's going to start starting with you. That's going to be the beginning. So it's about becoming willing to look at you. So let it begin with you. That's where I'm going to start today. So let's talk about the different signs that you may have in regards to a relationship when you're thinking, I think I might need to change. I'm going to go over a few of these signs. So starting out, number one, in your relationship, you find yourself feeling defensive, just a defensiveness about you. Now, the other person could look at you and you might get defensive. Maybe they ask you a question, but you've got stories inside your mind about them. You've been feeling a certain way about them. So you're just defensive. You're not open. You're definitely not going to feel open and vulnerable, but you feel defensive. When you reflect about how the relationship is, the status of the relationship, and how you are within that relationship, if you take a moment and you say, how am I in this relationship? You realize you haven't changed in a while, and the relationship hasn't changed in a while. The relationship's kind of been in this ho-hum status. The communication might have broke down. Something doesn't feel right. But when you reflect on that relationship, if you're feeling unhappy within the relationship, and you pause and you ask yourself, how long has this been going on? The answer to that question might be too long. Okay, that might be give you an idea if there's something for you to change within you in the relationship. You're a nagger. You nag, constantly nagging. Somebody is not fulfilling your expectations on a regular basis, and you're going to remind them of it. You are going to remind them of it. Naggers are kind of, you know, if you're willing to admit you're a nagger, then there's hope for you because there's lots of stuff to be done there for you. If you're somebody who is constantly running the show at home or at work, it's your way or the highway, or you just, you know, there's a lot of judgment coming. You're a nagger. You got to point out the negative. You got to point out when somebody's not doing what you think they should do. Then I just want to tell you, there's lots of hope for you. Naggers, there's a lot of possibility for you because there's so many things that you can do to help change that behavior. And I'll get into that in the rest of the show. But if you're a nagger, that's a sign. Assuming you think you know, you make a lot of assumptions about people. You assume they do something, and you're not usually assuming the positive. You're assuming something bad's going on. You're assuming that they're doing something that's not right. You are an assumption maker, a negative assumption maker. If you've got that going on, if you look at your relationships, ooh, parents can get trapped in this one big time. Really assuming you think you know what the teenager's intentions are. Assuming they're deliberately behaving a certain way and they know better. Assuming the child knows better. Right? The child is just doing the child. Their brain ain't even developed yet. Just saying. But if you're someone who makes a lot of assumptions in your relationships and you're constantly left feeling like they're not doing it right, there might be some room for you to grow. Justifying your behavior and thoughts. You hear yourself repeating often why you are behaving a certain way and you're justifying it. Naggers might do this. They feel really justified, constantly backing and supporting their positions. If you're someone who is always backing and supporting your position, like you have a right to this, or this didn't feel right, or this and that, there might be some room for you to grow on your side of that road, right? There might be some work in your hula hoop. When you think of collaborating with the person, if you're thinking about one or two people right now as I'm talking about this topic, and the next thought is, oh, hell no, I sure as heck couldn't collaborate with them. There might be room for you in your hula hoop. There might be room. If you are in relationships in your life where you can barely tolerate them, or the idea of collaborating with them or doing a project with them is unappealing to you to the point of disgust, there's going to be some room for improvement, especially if you look at that relationship and you say to yourself, I don't think they're going anywhere for a while. Remember the long-term relationships? Yeah. Let's see. You haven't had a positive new thought about that particular relationship in a while. You have become so addicted to your seemingly disappointed perspective in that person that it's been a while since you could compliment them. And I'm not saying, like, you know, logically we could say, oh, well, I'm grateful for, and put the old gratitude band-aid on it. Mm-mm. I'm talking about authentic appreciation, authentic compliments. If this relationship in your life, you are unable to do that, and you've been unable to do that because your first thought is about what a problem they are or how heavy the relationship feels to you, there might be some room in your hula hoop for improvement. Let's see. Oh, here's one. You are in a relationship. Let's go. Oh, I think we could probably do professional, children, or intimate on this one. Doesn't feel good, right? So you're in this spot with this. When's the last time you asked the other person how they felt about the relationship? When's the last time that communication was opened up? Like an open, the walls are down, we're having a communication, like you're really curious, wondering if they're having the same experience within the relationship that you're having. If it's been a while, then there's a lot of room to improve on that one, because if you're not communicating at all, then there's no openness. There's no connection going on between the two of you. There's a bunch of, in your mind, a bunch of assumptions and made up stories going on. When addressing this individual, let's say that you do try to communicate, but every time you go to communicate, you become overly emotional. Either you're crying your eyes out, or you're yelling, or you're screaming. You have, there is an inability to have a calm baseline of communication. You tend to be all over the place. Another extreme example of that might be you completely shut down. You're wordless, like you just freeze. A lot of times that's going to be, where can I grow in my relationship? Well, one of them might be learn how to communicate. But that would be a sign that there's something within your hula hoop to work on. Here's a big one. You have a tendency in your relationships to fix a situation so somebody else doesn't face the emotional consequences of it. I would call this one the quote unquote protector. For example, it's hard for you to see someone else's frustration, or it's hard for you. Oh, this is a really good one for, I'll say blended families. I bet blended families, and it could be just regular families too, but I'm going to go with blended, right? It could be regular. Parental blended families have a hard time. You might struggle with allowing your partner to express frustrations within the family because you want to turn on the protective mode of the parent to protect the child from feeling any emotional uncomfortableness. That's a big one. I think sometimes in our world today, you know, it's like back in the day, we were so hard asses, really, with parenting. You know, what's that pathetic thing that people repeat about? I think they even try to use the word Bible to back and support it, or something about children should be seen rather than heard. I mean, just horrible parenting in perspective. We've come so far, many of us have. That might have something to do with the demographics, I don't know, but we've come so far from that. And yet when we came far, it's like anything, is when we run to extremes, right? Like, I think sometimes people in general, myself definitely, there's like, I have to learn from going to one extreme, which usually isn't the good extreme. Like, I have to go all the way to that extreme to realize this ain't working, to then shift gears and start to head in the other direction. But when I haven't had any practice in shifting gears in a new way of thinking, a tendency might be to go to an extreme the other direction. Parenting, I'm talking about blended to make sure I'm keeping you on pace with me here. So we've gone to this extreme of kind of brutal, justified, demeaning, shame-based parenting. Ooh, management, professional. Could be me because my background's debt collection. That's all I got to say probably. That industry has dramatically changed for the better. But we kind of go from this one extreme, and then we've shifted gears in a lot of different areas, and we've gone to this other extreme. But somewhere in the middle, we've misunderstood how to still apply healthy consequences, healthy boundary setting for behaviors that are inappropriate. Hopefully that makes sense. And so sometimes in the extreme swinging, we think of a pendulum, there's one to the other. We have probably, I think many of us might suffer from not allowing people to experience emotional disappointment. And we might go into overprotective mode. You know, are we too sensitive right now? Do we understand that people still have to feel a certain amount of discomfort? And remember, in the beginning of the show, I said, I'm outside of abuse. I'm not talking about emotional discomfort as a result of abuse. I'm talking about people are going to get mad. Okay. Tempers are sometimes going to fly. And we get to feel the consequence of that and how that affects us. We get to feel those things. It doesn't mean that we become mired down in it. It doesn't mean that we're tolerating behaviors that are abusive. It just means that when my husband, here's an example, if my husband has a rough day, I don't need to put on life jackets for every kid under my roof to protect them because he's having a bad day. Do you see what I'm going with this? I don't need to cover up to make them feel better because that's all about me being scared of my children feeling a consequence. I don't need to overly compensate if this was a professional environment. I don't need to overly compensate for a messed up leader who doesn't understand effective management or motivation or inspiration with staff. Those employees get to have their experience with a dysfunctional leader, if that's what the experience is. And so if you are somebody in a relationship, or relationships, I should say, where you are the protector and you are constantly putting on the shield to protect everybody from having an emotional, a negative feeling for fear of, guess what? You got something in your hula hoop to work on. Because learning to let go and let live, oh boy, that's a saying we have in recovery. When you truly understand the magnificence of allowing others in your life to let go and let them live and have their own journey, that's a beautiful place to be. That's a beautiful place to be. Because remember, ultimately, the powerlessness that we experience is I have no control over other individuals. I only have control over me. Everything I talk about on this show is always coming down to how to help you function and how help you find, I use this term very lovingly, accountability with your own thinking habits, your own relationship behaviors. How, because you are the only one that can change that. And when we change, we will notice how that change can impact the relationships, because suddenly we may not tolerate behaviors anymore, or suddenly we learn how to express. But ultimately, how we repair those relationships is we have to begin with us. We have to begin with us. So, those are a list of symptoms that may be showing up for you if within your relationships there's room for you within your relationship hula hoop, not the other person's, your relationship hula hoop, if there's room for you to grow within that hula hoop to help your relationships enhance, to bring more joy for you, to bring more satisfaction for you and your relationships. This is a ripple effect. We change. All of a sudden, other people get affected by us. And they might change, may not, but they might, right? We show up differently. Therefore, people get to respond to us differently. So those are the symptoms. When I come back from break, I'm going to be going into a couple different things. I will be talking about solutions to the symptoms. We'll be talking about a few other key areas when we get into this relationship repair with self, about where you can begin to have a new experience with yourself, so therefore enhancing your relationships. So if you're looking for any coaching, I do individuals and couples. You can always check out my website at susandene.com or any of my social media. In the meantime, I will be back shortly and we will dive into the second half of this show. Be back. It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDene.com. That's DENEE.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Are you living through any painful family relationships? Do you feel like you are frequently stuck in the past or can't sleep at night because of painful family memories? Rose Salkova is an energy life coach, and she's here to show you firsthand that your life doesn't need to be that way. She will guide you on how to take responsibility for your own energy and help you create a meaningful life for yourself. To find out more or schedule a session with Rose, visit familyhealingwithrose.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
So are you ready to be pain-free? Do you have issues that have plagued you for decades? Well, get ready to be BFFs with your body physically and emotionally. The Body Channel, Lynn Waldron, takes a dive into your health energetically with programs like the Mega Detox, Issues in the Tissues, and for the long haul, the COVID Correction. Know the cause and how to fix. Have a question on how Lynn the Body Channel can help you? Visit thebodychannel.com today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic, relationship repair, finding your part within the relationship versus staring at the other person thinking it's their fault. We can become obsessed with the other person's behavior. We can become absolutely obsessed with what they're doing, how they're doing it. They're not doing enough of it. They need to do more of it. And when we focus too long on that, we become miserable in response to it, sometimes hopeless. We can do that with our partners, our intimate partners. We can do that with our coworkers. We can be guilty of that with our children. I mean, ultimately, when we become overly obsessed about the relationships in our life, we cheat ourselves out from having a freedom and an experience all on our own. We want our relationships to complement our life, not complicate it, not complicate it. If I am in a consistent state of disappointment with the relationships in my life, I've got some work to do on me because I have no control over them. If you were here for the first part of the show, I was discussing simply symptoms that you might need to look within your hula hoop. The hula hoop analogy is I've got a hula hoop around me, and within that hula hoop is my business. What's outside of that hula hoop, maybe your hula hoop, is none of my business. It's just a way to kind of visualize and say, okay, is this something for me to worry about? Or am I once again jumping in somebody else's hula hoop and trying to direct them on what to do and tell them how to do it? And I got sneaky ways of doing that. Maybe I ask questions. Maybe I make a side comment. Maybe I do all these things, but it's always about the other person. Here's a real good sign for you. If you've got an obsession with other people in your life, you never talk about you. You're always talking about them and they and their problems. That's like, if you ever been a friend with someone who all they talk about is everybody else in their life, usually it's because they're defining everything they wake up to about everything they got to show up for everyone else. I personally can relate to that, and I'm cognizant of it. I've had, between helping women over the years, working full-time mom, all of those good things, and then the recent experience with elderly parents, one passing away, I have to stay really focused on not becoming too involved with everything I got to do for everybody else. That might relate to some of you out there. I have to be sure I'm focused on, make sure I'm doing something for me, to make sure I reel that back in. How many activities, how many responsibilities are actually on behalf of somebody else? And am I paying attention to what's on behalf of me? That's something to kind of reel in and for me to take inventory of, which is now going to get me into the next part of this. There's different ways in a relationship where this can happen. If I focus on the intimate relationships and how do we get to that place in an intimate relationship, sometimes it's just we simply stop talking. We don't check in with one another. We stop playing. Everything becomes serious. Everything's about purchasing stuff or cleaning stuff or the kids are going through stuff and now you're dealing with that. Like, there's a lot of stressors on the relationship and we just don't play enough with one another. And your intimate partners are supposed to be your friends. This might also be true of your friendships, just not playing enough together. Every time you get together, it's about problems. Everything's heavy. When do you play together? So sometimes we wake up in relationships and we realize this isn't working for us no more. But yet we've also had a part in not bringing levity to the relationship. So we end up handling stressors on the relationship individually and not as a couple, not as a team. We don't acknowledge that there's stressors. We just keep going through the motion. And I get it. Man, I worked full-time. Well, I'm still full-time, but full-time in an office job, commuting back and forth an hour each way with toddlers in my car, dropping them off at daycare, working 8-9 hour days, picking them up from daycare, commuting home with them, walking through the door, trying to figure out what's for dinner. Some days grabbing Mickey D's on the way home because that's the best I had. Other days coming through the door and okay, now what are we going to eat? Because the world says it needs to look a certain way or I'm going to be a bad parent. But dude, I've been there. I have been through all of that. And day after day of that, when both parents are working full time or there's so many responsibilities, there's stressors on the relationship. And if we're not talking about those stressors and we're not becoming aware of those stressors, it can really start to tear the foundation of joy away from the relationship. So be cognizant of what the stressors are right now. And I already talked about watching too closely to another person's behavior. You're wondering in a relationship how these things happen. How do you become distant from your kid? Why does your kid quit telling you stuff? Because you're critical of them all the time. You're constantly looking for where they're failing. You're not looking for their wins. You're unable to separate yourself from their personality as a kid with the joy and the God love that's within them. And so you become a critical parent and no, your kid ain't going to come to you when that happens. As soon as that judgment comes, and once again, it becomes all about, well, I'm fearful if in 20 years, So instead of enjoying the moment and where they're at presently and acknowledging the good and appropriately applying consequences for the, behavior that needs to be, eradicated a little bit, you lose sight of that sometimes and you become the judger. How many people are you judging in your life on a regular basis? And when you're judging somebody in your life, how do you think you are to be around? I mean, are you a parent or are you a partner that somebody wants to come home and talk openly with? Or are you constantly judging them? When you give feedback, is it one of criticism or is it one of support? Or do you just not need to give feedback? Yeah, you ever think of that? Okay. All right. So here's the hot question for you. When is the last time you thoroughly looked at your part in the relationship? Whatever that relationship is, maybe it's professional, maybe it's intimate, but when is the last time you looked at your part? If you've been feeling frustrated in your relationship, and maybe, you know, let's just take a look at it. One, how long has that been going on? Just take a little mental note. How long has that been going on? You know, off and on for a year. You might think, oh, I didn't realize it'd been going on that long. Maybe 6 months, maybe a couple years. Like sometimes when we pause and we reflect back, how long has this thing been uncomfortable for me? We realize that it's been going on much longer because we are tolerable people. Remember that busy thing I was talking about? Like we get so busy that we're just kind of dragging along this unhappiness with us and we don't even know what's going on, or we squirrel and we just go buy a new toy and we think that puts a nice band-aid, and yet the wound underneath continues to be unhappy and we haven't addressed it in a long time. And so when you ask yourself that question, how long has this been going on for me? How long have I felt this way? Be prepared. It may be longer than you think. It may be longer than you think. And during that time, let's say it's been going on for a year. During that time, have you challenged yourself to come up with a new way of thinking about the relationship or a new way of experiencing the relationship? I'm not asking you these questions to make you feel bad about yourself by any means, but I'm asking you these questions to challenge you on when is the last time you have challenged yourself in developing a new way of thinking about that person or about that relationship. If you're someone like me, you might spend a lot of time in reflection and be saying to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm always thinking, or I'm always reflecting, or I'm always, but if you have a complaint that something's not working, then perhaps your habitual inventory taking, oh, this is good, I love it when it's good, your own self-reflection isn't working no more, you might want to reach out and get some feedback from somebody that you trust, from a counselor, a friend, a coach, because you've been in a cycle for a while. That's the power of working one-on-one with someone. So if the question is, yeah, or if the answer is, yeah, I do it, I'm always reflected, I'm always, you know, cognizant, blah, 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 but yet the unhappiness continues to hang on there like a dark cloud, then you're using the same mind that's creating the same problem, and you need to get out of self and go ask for help. That's likely, you know, one solution for you. Another thing you might think is, I'm good, they need to change. If that is something that's going through your mind often, not every now and then, but often, then it might have been a while since you've looked at your part in the relationship. And here's the thing, looking at your part in the relationship is one thing. Changing behaviors and habits of yours is a whole other deal. Now, the neurons in your brain do not rewire to a new behavior or habit until it is in practice for a while. It's going to take more than just thinking about it. The body, the habits, the mind changes when there's tangible action taken. New decisions are made and new actions are applied. That is how we effectively change behaviors of our own. If it has been a while since you have changed a behavior of yours within a relationship, then likely you haven't really looked at your part in a while. Or if you've looked at your part, you've done nothing about it if it continues to show up for you. And your habit or your behavior that needs to change might just simply be as much as changing your perspective on the other person. If you have a habit of consistently being disappointed in your partner, if you have a habit of being consistently disappointed in the relationships in your life, then there is some rewiring likely that needs to go on within you to effectively change those relationships so that you can begin to feel more satisfaction within them. Thinking is one thing, doing is another. I'm not kidding about rewiring those neurons. All right, so you have to be able to heighten the awareness to a new level in order to catch your crazy. That's it. You got to be able to become aware on a consistent basis. And so how do we become aware? What are action steps that you can take in order to literally not only look at your part in this, but now do something about it? Like, where do we begin to do something about it? I mean, this right here is probably the best part of the show, in my opinion, is when we really start looking in, what are the solutions? What can I do to become a more informed individual as far as how I'm showing up in my relationships? Number one, you know, I really wish I would have had my whiteboard today. I was trying to get away from using the whiteboard. I almost wish I had a, you know what, I got some cards here. You know, one thing I love to do is I love to teach. It's just part of me. I know this is a live show, but I'm going to write a couple things on a card here and see if that helps you. So the first thing that you're going to do is you are going to take a feeling inventory. You're going to take a feeling inventory. Think about the relationship. Think about the one that you're really twisted up about. What I want you to do, the exercise for you, because see, I just don't, you know, I can talk to you. You know, hopefully you're somebody who likes to take action. You know, you can listen to this and great. If you do it later, great. But if you've got a phone available and you can take a notes or you've got a pen and paper available, this is where I would be doing some writing. But you're going to take a feeling inventory. What you're going to do is you're going to reflect back on the moments that you feel disappointed with your relationship. Okay, so if you're at work, I want you to think back, when are the moments at work when I'm really feeling disappointed in so-and-so? If you're at home and it's in your intimate relationship, when are the moments that I really feel unsatisfied, dissatisfied, unsatisfied, not satisfied in my relationship? When are those moments? So you simply pause and you're going to reflect back and say, when are those moments? Maybe going out to dinner together is a nightmare. Maybe it's a nightmare. Maybe one person is over controlling about where to eat. Maybe, I don't know, my mom and dad, flashback, my mom and dad going out to dinner, especially when they got into their older years. Oh my God. It was like Complain City. I don't think the server could have put down any food in front of them that was going to be enjoyable to them. Like, there was always going to be a complaint, especially from my mom. It was going to be too cold, not enough. I mean, something bland. I mean, just something, right? So how is going out to dinner? You know, maybe that's a trigger point for the relationship when you feel dissatisfied. What about planning a vacation together? This can be a hurdle. You know, if this is an intimate relationship, what's it like to plan vacations together? Are you coming together as a team, or is one person always bulldozing the deal? Are both parties given an open opportunity to discuss, to collaborate? I don't know, but I'm giving you examples of when you're doing this feeling inventory, I want you to reflect and really ask yourself, when am I feeling the most disappointed? And why would I be having you do this exercise? Because the only way that we can become aware of how we show up in relationships is to be able to pinpoint the moments in which we feel the most uncomfortable. Because in that moment, you have been in a habit of showing up a certain way, doing that moment in a particular manner. You have been showing up the same way, because if I'm bringing up different situations such as these and you get that feeling, in that moment, you got to be able to identify it. So here's a couple more. Going out to dinner together, planning a vacation together, purchasing something together. You ever take your teenager shopping? Woo! Think about that. But purchasing something together, purchasing items together is a very emotional moment, depending on what you're doing. If you're taking your partner to go purchase something together, I mean, yeah, it's probably, you know what I'm talking about? Like a significant purchase. I remember one time my husband and I got rear-ended in my little Toyota several years ago, but the Toyota was paid off and we had never bought a car together. We had never like had to do that. I had always, you know, I'd been buying my own stuff forever and same with him, but we actually had this thing where we were on opposite ends as far as this purchase was concerned. You know, I would see something and then he had something and we were both super upset that we had to take on a car payment, probably because somebody was on their cell phone. That's what I think happened, but whatever. But we were both upset about that, because now, if any of you who have worked full time, raising kids, doing the whole thing, like when you get a car paid off, like, hey, I don't got a car payment no more. It kind of feels good. Neither one of us wanted to return to that, but we actually had a conflict for a while trying to get on the same page. I will tell you that purchasing a large item together can stir emotions in both parties, especially if you're coming at it from a different perspective. I mean, obviously we got around that, thankful to a good friend that I had to pick up the phone and call and to get some clarity that was outside our circle, Social gatherings. How are you in social gatherings with this individual? Does that do anything for you? Is there an inventory? Like, because, you know, sometimes we get into that fix it mode or that protect it mode in social gatherings, wanting to cage somebody's behavior for fear of that reflection that it may have on us. And so we find ourselves overly focused on somebody else in a social situation. What if they say or do something that I disagree with? And how's that going to affect the other person that I'm friends with? And now I'm in this moment of I'm trying to maneuver, you know, the pieces like a chess game, all in a social gathering, overly focused on somebody's behavior in a social gathering. That might be one for you. Evening time. Feeling inventory. How are you together in the evening? Morning time. Like all of these things. Become aware of a feeling inventory and how you feel about it. Because the first thing in changing you is one, understanding you more. Understanding when you feel this tension. Understanding what's behind the tension. Because now the next thing that you're going to be doing is once you identify those areas and where the feeling is, the negative feeling is being triggered, now you're going to be in that moment. You're going to say to yourself, let go. Let go. Let go of the behavior. Let go of the perception. Just let go. What you do is you honor the negative feeling that's within you. But you pause long enough after you spot it to say to yourself, just let go. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I want to remove myself from the obsession of the other person, of this situation. You know, you catch it in the middle of an argument with your kid or something. And you just say, you catch it. And quietly in your mind, you just say, I need to let go right now. This isn't working. This feeling that I'm responsible for generating, because nobody can make me feel anything, I'm responsible for the feelings that I have. I need to let go in this moment. And you pause and you start to let go. This is a slow process. This isn't always an overnight matter, especially if you've got a relationship that is, and I'm going to use the word triggering you more often than not. If there is a established obsession with somebody else's behavior, then there's going to be a lot of thinking habits on your end that are going to kind of be uprooted if you're willing. I mean, relationships, long-term relationships take a lot of effort. And yeah, there's always going to be a place where it's like, oh, I'm done with this relationship. I want them out. But what about the relationships we can't do that with? What about those relationships? The work is always going to begin with you. So what are we doing? Solution one, we recognize here's some symptoms I've got going on in my life. In this relationship, these are the symptoms. I'm defensive. I'm highly disappointed all the time. I'm overly concerned about what they're doing, when they're doing it, and how they're doing it. I've become critical of the relationship. You know, these are symptoms. When I think of them, there is no satisfaction going on. It's like immediate problem, or I'm complaining about them all the time. Like, these are symptoms. Next thing. Ask yourself, how long has that been going on for you? How long has that disappointment, that obsession, that difficulty been going on for you? Just pause and ask yourself, how long has it been going on? It doesn't have to be going on a super long time for you to do something about it. If you catch the crazy early, it's a much easier path, trust me. But if it's been a while, which a lot of us, we go a long time, because like I said, we learn to tolerate dysfunction for a while, sometimes for weird reasons, but sometimes, you know, we will tolerate an icky feeling for a long time. Okay. All right. So now it's been going on for a while. I've identified these symptoms, and now you're going to pause and you're going to reflect and you're going to ask yourself to take a feeling inventory and reflect on the relationship and ask yourself, at what key moments is this relationship the most challenging for me? And the examples I gave to kind of get you started are, maybe it's during going out to eat. Maybe it's in social gatherings. Maybe the evenings are really hard. Maybe it's difficult when you're going out to purchase something together, a big purchase together. Like, when is the relationship really challenging for me? You know, with your kid, maybe it's in the evenings when you think they should be doing homework and all they want to do is watch, you know, their phone. Maybe that's challenging for you and you're trying to determine, when do I stay in my hula hoop? When do I address a behavior that needs to come to a halt or something, right? So then you think about, when am I being impacted by this behavior? Then once that is identified, you're going to simply pause, because now that you've become aware of it, now that you've done some writing around it, you're simply going to pause and you're going to say, I want to catch this going forward. When the situation comes up for you, and it will, because there's been momentum, there's been a habit established, you have a habit of feeling this way, you have a habit of perceiving this way. Remember, you're the only one that can make you feel this way. As much as we think they're doing it, it's really about you. When you catch it, you get to say, let go. I need to let go of the way I'm perceiving the situation. Will it change right there in that moment? Maybe not. I had something happen the other day and it took me about 10 minutes. I went through this whole exercise that I'm sharing with you. I apply these tools myself. I went through the whole exercise, took me about 10 minutes to let it go. Now, interesting, if you're that willing and you want to know the last little trick, and then I'm going to close up. The last little trick is to just kind of walk it all the way through and say, where did I learn to have that feeling from? Mine actually went back to my mom growing up. Remember, I started the show. We all come from different backgrounds. And I was able to pinpoint and be like, oh, yeah, makes sense. All right. So if you are somebody that would like some relationship repair, hopefully this show helped you today. Why do we talk about doing the work? Why do I always stay focused on you helping you and you changing you and you being aware of you? Because as much as it sounds like a lot of work, once we become aware and we shift and we download a whole new perception, boy, life becomes sweet. You know, I'd like to say happiness is just downloaded on us. Hell no, it's earned. It's earned. It's earned by emotional shifts. It's earned by taking accountability for our emotional state. It's earned from understanding our crazy and how it operates. Happiness is earned. It is not blessed upon us. You know, the more that we become in tune with our higher self, the more that we become satisfied with our own reactions, our own responses, the more loving relationships we get to have as a result of that. It is well worth the work. It is well worth the ride. That, my friend, means this show is a wrap. If you are looking for coaching or consultant work or corporate, you know, I was doing a workshop for a corporation not too long ago, and I thought, I really enjoy talking to professionals and learning, teaching this thing to the professional community. If you have any business needs for that, you can reach out to me at my website at susandenee.com or pin me on any of my social media. It's all under Susan Denee, D-E-N-E-E. All right, folks, have a blessed evening. You are worth it. Talk to you next week. Bye. You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Denee. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenee.com. That's Susan Denee, D-E-N-E-E.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.